I'm grateful that I'm able to come and share a few things with you. I'm glad they gave me the topic of God unchanging, because I like to tell people and show people that God wants us to do the same thing that he keeps us doing from the beginning of the church. I tell people that we have a ministry that is an ancient ministry. It doesn't change because God doesn't change. The subjects that they gave me, I really appreciate it, but right now I'm going to look at the scripture that he gave us in Malachi 3 and 6. Here God says, I change not, and because I change not, you're not consumed. What he's telling us, as well as telling them, is that I will not change my mind about your salvation. You don't have to worry about me having updates, amendments, or anything like that. I will not change, and what I tell you will not change. And so as I look at those things, I realize that I can go to the scripture and know what to do to please God. Over 2,000 years ago, he stopped his inspired writing. But by going to the scripture, I know how to please God. I know how to be saved. And over there in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says that we are always giving thanks to God for you, brethren, because from the beginning he has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I know that I can be saved and my spirit can be set apart for God, all because I believe the truth. The truth is something that never changes. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And so God never changes. The word never changes. And so I can look in the scripture and find out what to do to be saved. And then he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. I know that in this year, I can obey the gospel and be saved. Why? Because God says that's the way it is, and he never changes. And so I can tell other people what to do to be saved. I can continue to be saved. Why? Because God says I never change. Well, I want us to understand that everything that God says is valid today. Sometime we'll read something that does not pertain to us, such as morning and evening and all through the day sacrifices. If I tried to do that, I'd probably be arrested for burning up goats. But the things that pertain to us, I know that I can obey it all the time, every time, and God will be pleased. But then I find that the scripture tells us that God is not slack concerning his promise. We find that over in 2 Peter. As men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So now I know God has not changed, and And I know why he's waiting. He wants as much repentance as possible before he said, that's it. No more. But as long as the world stands, and as long as I'm human and keep messing up, I know that God doesn't change from his long-suffering, and he doesn't change from looking for repentance. So I'm not ashamed to repent of everything that I find wrong in my life. I'm not too proud to back up. I'm not too proud to say to somebody, I'm sorry I did that. And so by knowing that God is unchangeable, I know that God wants me to always be a repenting person. And that brings me to another point there. And God says, listen carefully now, God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. God, when he says something, that's it. And it's unchangeable. Whatever he says, if he changed it, then that would change the whole prospect of God. Because he would have lied. And then he says, I'm not human that I should repent. Well, I find out one thing as I study that, and that is humans need to repent. We're not God. We need to repent. I'm reminded of different occasions in the scripture, and one stands out for me, and that is the one of Naaman. Naaman was a big man. I don't mean of stature. I mean he was big in the service of the king. But he was a leper. And so he found out that there's a possibility of being cured back there with the Jews. And so he decides, I'm going to go to the top. I'm going to go to the king and get cured. Yeah. He goes to the king, and instead of getting cured, he's got the king worried. You see, he came here to meddle with us. I can't cure anybody. And so what happens? We find that Naaman had to make a change. He had to repent of thinking that the top man in Jerusalem, or wherever you're going to be, is the one that's going to do the healing. Well, he had to make a repentance there. And then someone says, I know where you can go. Now he has to repent of that. No longer does he believe that healing is from the king. Go see this prophet. Then this prophet doesn't come out. He says, go and dip 7 times or wash 7 times in Jordan. Well, he's got an attitude problem now. He says, in Jordan? And wash? Who ever heard of bathing your ailment away? Who ever heard of that? But he says, Jordan? Abana and Wawa, those rivers are a whole lot better than that. And you're going to ask me to go and wash in Jordan. Well, you know something? God has never changed. God's place in Jordan, healing, when obedience is there. There's nothing in the water except your obedience. And so when he goes there and he's upset because he says, I thought the prophet would come out and wave his hand over me or something, you know, do something physically, and he just sends me a word. He must have known who I am. And so he leaves in a rage. You know, that reminds me of people who you try to study with. You ask them, can I study with you, you know, about such and such a thing? And they'll say, I'm already saved. That's my brother-in-law over there. Go talk to him. He drinks and everything else. Well, Naaman being so upset over, I'm a big man, and so everything got to be spectacular. I brought this whole train of raiments and all like that to lavish on the person that would lavish on me. And he's talking about going and dipping or washing seven times. And seven times is that. Yeah. Well, as he goes along in a rage, someone meekly asks him a question. He says, if you were asked to do something spectacular, would you have done it? Well, that's right down my alley. Of course I'd do that. He said, well, why not just do this simple thing? Just do this simple thing. When I try to study with people, people are looking for something spectacular. You know, TV has ruined it, you know. I got to have somebody jump up out of a wheelchair, fold a wheelchair up and say, I'm not going to sit in it anymore. I'm going to run down the aisle. Well, everybody's looking for something spectacular. Then I come with the gospel of Christ. They're almost insulted, you know. I'm not asking them to do anything spectacular. And so when he goes and dips seven times, there it is. God never changed his mind. If you dip seven times in Jordan, then you'll be cured. And so, who had to repent? Naaman. And man is that way. Every time that we find ourselves doing something out of line, then we must realize that we're not God. We're going to mess it up sometime. But also remember that we are men and we should repent. And we are men, and we should quit lying. But then I find that the other verse that they give me was found in James 1. I find that God never changed, and since his word is him, his word never changed. That's one of the things that upset me about people today. And that is, see, I grew up where your word was your bond. Nothing else would bind you, you know. Half the people couldn't write, so all they could do was put an X. Well, that doesn't say anything. But when they tell you out of their mouth, I will do such and such a thing, they will go through, jump through hoops and everything else to make sure that what they said, they will do. But today, you have to hem them up with a document, plus get three lawyers, and threaten to do every kind of thing to them in order for them to carry out what they said. Well, God is not like that. The scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from Father of lights. I even know when it's God and when it's the devil. If it's good, I'm talking good. Now, I'm not talking about desirable, you know. Everybody thinks good means if I like it. No. Sometimes good means a spanking. Sometimes good means to lose some things that you shouldn't have had in the first place. Good and perfect. Come down from the Father of lights. And in Him, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God ain't even thinking about changing His mind. And He says, of His own will begot He us with the word of truth. Begot us. I now know that I can be born through obeying the word. And that's something that will never change. Why? Because there's no shadow of turning in Him. And so now I know that I can be born through the word, and I'm going to have a special position with God. Because He says that you might be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. God is not a respecter of persons, but He's a respecter of positions. He will give you a position of first fruit. And so we find that the scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. What is He saying? You can be begotten by the word of truth if you will shut up and listen. And then He says, slow to wrath. You know, sometimes we'll hear something in a sermon or whatever that we don't like, distasteful. Preacher, step on your toes. We want to go and step on his. I know something about Brother so-and-so. He there preaching, talking about such-and-such. I know this on him. Knowing something on him and spreading it does not negate what he just preached to you. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And let us not get upset about it, and certainly let us not be wrathful, because He says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And then He tells us that we are to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. Once again, I find that God never changes. He says that if I get rid of these things that's in my way, and if I meekly receive, you know, A lot of people are too proud to receive it. It's there, but they're too proud to receive it. But if I meekly receive, sometimes preachers have to be told what is not being received well. See, yeah, you gave us the scripture, but you beat us up giving us the scripture that we will not hear. And so would you lighten up on us or whatever? And so when he finds out that his delivery was off base or whatever, he should meekly make the change. And then he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Make it a part of your life. Why? Because God never changed. And that means that every time you can please God by doing what God says. Just as simple as that. I like to tell people that I can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to Scripture, and you know it'll still be just as valid, because God says that His Word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the part I like best on that is that He said, it's a discerner of the intent of the heart. You know, a lot of people think that God doesn't know anything about what they're doing because this is the 21st century. Is this 21st century? I can't spell what I'm saying. But anyway, in the word that God had delivered 2,000 years ago, in the word is a conviction for what you're thinking about doing. God never changed. His word never changed. And so we can follow His word. I'm so glad that when I look at His unchangeable word, He tells me about worshiping. You know, sometimes people like to put human logic into something. Don't ever do that. Human logic is just a stumbling block to obeying God. You know what Jeremiah said about that? He said, oh Lord, I know. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So why should I use human logic? I don't even know how to walk. I've been walking for years, and I still don't know. Yeah. Why? It's because I don't know about any direction. You see, I don't have that kind of wisdom that God has. I don't have that kind of knowledge that God has. You know, a lot of times, people lose battles and all because they don't have the intelligence. They don't know that the enemy is encamped over such and such a place, and they got cannons, and all we got is pistols. You know, it's time to withdraw then. But if they didn't know that, if they didn't have the intelligence, there they are. Well, it's the same way it is with God. If I didn't know what God wanted in worship, I'd be doing all kinds of things. I'd be clamoring for a good piano, a good organ. All the people that are in denomination, it just seemed like they have such a good time. Yeah, twisting and shouting and everything, you know, just let yourself go. Yeah. I remember the intro to football games with Hank Williams Jr. He said, are you ready for football? He said, all my rowdy friends are here. And then he goes on to talk. It just sounds like At a football game, we can just cut up and everything, you know. And everything go, nothing restricted. Well, you might have a good time at football games. But God says, when it comes to my worship, He says, I want you to worship in spirit and in truth. And you know, He never changes. Jesus said that back in John 4th chapter, talking to the woman at the well. He said, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper, that's the one I want to be. False worship won't get you anywhere unless you enjoy Gehenna. if you enjoy being hot all the time, okay. But I want to please God. And so I look at His unchangeable way of worship. One of the things that I find is that I'm to worship Him in spirit. My worship is going to be one of those inward things. I'm not going to bang on anything. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to run around the building. I'm not going to do any of that. All of it is going to come inside. And when it comes to singing, I'm not going to worry about who's on key and who are off key. I don't even know what a key is. But the thing is, God says, it's what's inside. Yeah. And then I find that He tells us that let the words of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Well, how do you do that? Instead of being caught up in how the song is going and whether we are coming in at the right place and all like that. He says, speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. You say, well, we can't be hearing the melody in your heart. You ain't worshiping you. You are worshiping God. And God is a heart reader. And when I say things in the song like, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody say, well, I can skip over that. I've never been a wretch. Well, you missed the whole point of the song if you've never been a wretch. If you've never seen the power of grace. When He says, grace teaches me to abandon ungodliness, worldly lust, and replace it with godliness and soberness and all of those things. I got 5 minutes, all right. Yeah. Let me wind up, see if I got anything that's 5 minutes. No, I don't have anything I can do in 5 minutes. I will put it this way, though. In Ephesians 1, verse number 11, I am so glad that God doesn't change because He says He does everything by the counsel of His own will. That means that He doesn't ask us anything. The 9 justices, they can't decide whether abortion is right or wrong. They can't do that. Why? God has already made up His mind. And He never changed. And so one of the things that He never changed is He never checked with us to see if He can command us to do this, that, or the other. He does everything by the counsel of his own will. I'm so glad that we worship with, worship for, worship to God that has never changed his mind. And he says, worship according to truth. And so when I find out that his word is truth, it is so simple from there. If God says, worship me this way, then that's the way I do it. Somebody say, well, he didn't say that. He didn't have to say it. Just do what he says. When I'm coming up here, I pass signs that say speed limit 45. There's not another 30 signs that say, don't do this, don't do that for speed, you know. Don't go very slow. Don't go over this and then make it slower and then give me an average speed. It says, don't go over that. That's all. Yeah. Well, when God says, do such and such, all of the other is ruled out. If your parents would tell you to do such and such a thing, and you decide that you do something else, do you think your parents would have put up with that? Well, you didn't say not to do such and such a thing. You didn't say I couldn't play with the oven. You just told me to put, you just told me to set the table. I did that. But you didn't tell me that I could play with the silverware and all like that. So what's our point? If we could just do what God says and keep it simple and worship, let the words of Christ just dwell in us. Let us take the songs that we sing, listen to the message, and allow the message to resonate with our hearts. I do believe that we can worship in spirit and in truth, and we can obey this unchanging God. Thank you.